are Locked On Diamondbacks, your daily Arizona Diamondbacks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast. You're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day listening to. The always wonderful host of this podcast, Miller Thomas. I'm a multimedia journalist and I'm a graphic designer, so please go check out my website, millerthomas24.myportfolio.com. On there you can see all my latest work, from my packages to my articles to my photos and my graphic design. For today's show, we got a crossover with Locked On Reds host Jeff Carr. We're talking about the Reds' hot start to the season. We're previewing tomorrow's game. We're talking a whole bunch of D-backs and Reds today. I'm not going to be talking about that awful loss the D-backs took today at the hands of the Rockies. It was just despicable. Getting no hit through six innings. I don't even want to talk about it. A disgusting game. So we're focusing on tomorrow's game, as Coach Belichick likes to say, on to Cincinnati. So that's what the D-backs are doing in their home opener tomorrow. So we're going to be talking a whole bunch about that. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me this week, probably Sunday. I'm either going to go before the game against the Reds or post-game after the D-backs beat the Reds. Not sure. Might do both. We'll see. But make sure you download the app to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, let's get into that crossover with Locked On Reds host Jeff Carr. All right, D-backs fans, we got a new guest on the pod today. Doing a little crossover today with the Locked On Reds. We got Jeff Carr, first time talking to Jeff Carr. Jeff, say what's up to the Locked On listeners over on the D-back side.
Miller, I appreciate you having me. For everybody out in the desert, I've always wanted to come to Arizona. I'm hoping next spring training to come out that way, but always wanted to go out there. So looking forward to this series, looking forward to staying up really late.
Yeah, I know Locked On Dodgers host Vince Samperio was out here for a little spring training. Do you live in Cincinnati or near the area?
I do, just north of Cincinnati. I'm about 15 minutes from the ballpark. It's funny because on opening day, I went down with a buddy, and my buddy forgot his wallet in his truck at my house. And so we like got all the way down there, and he's like, "Oh, I need my wallet." And I'm like, "Ah, whatever. It's not that far. We'll go back to the house and grab it." And it's, nobody should be without their wallet. Right? Come on. But yeah, no, it's very tempting for a guy like me that does not mind jumping on a game, you know, an app that sells tickets on game day, and just head on down to the ballpark for a few.
Yeah, what's the weather out there right now in Cincinnati?
Today and yesterday have been very, very nice. I've been donning the shorts and the flip-flops. We actually had some rain go through today. But, yeah, it's finally warm. We're not worried about that dreaded S-word, the snow.
Okay, because it's starting to heat up a little bit here in the Valley. We got a pretty consistently above 90 nowadays. So we're going to be touching 100 pretty soon here, I think. And I'm just not excited, especially once we enter May. It's just going to be brutal here. But we're not here to talk about the weather, Jeff. We're here to talk about some baseball. And speaking of, you know, hot weather in the Valley, the Cincinnati Reds are red hot right now, 5-1 on the season. The offense has been incredible. Just what are your early takeaways so far from this point of the season? What were your expectations level, you know, coming into the season? And have they, you know, surpassed that, met those expectations? What are your just early takeaways right now from the Reds?
Just in the first six games, I have been blown away. Opening day, if it weren't for the fact that it was like 20 degrees with the wind chill and Luis Castillo could not get the grip on his changeup, that might have been a totally different story. I mean, he was not saying anything like that in the post game, saying that blaming anything, but he said the St. Louis Cardinals hitters were just better that day. But they bounced back in such a huge way. Because the storyline for the Reds coming into the season was, will the lineup bounce back? They averaged just a sneeze over four runs a game last year. And it was, anytime they got a lead, it was of the one run variety. And we're all just chewing off our nails for the rest of the game because they never played add-on, it felt like, in any game that they won, much less any game that they lost in the latter half of the inning. So I wasn't sure what to expect. I was hoping for good things. Lord knows I was not expecting this kind of start. I saw a stat today that said the first six games of 1976, the Big Red Machine scored two less runs than this lineup this year. I don't know what that means. I know I'm excited. I'm not sitting here and saying that with still 156 games left to go, that they're going to be like World Series contenders, but they can at least meet our wildest hopes for the preseason, because I really felt like the Reds could compete. I felt like most of Reds country felt like the Reds could compete for this division. And with the Pirates just looking as terrible as they did and taking two out of three against the Cardinals, that feeling has definitely done nothing but go up.
Yeah, and I kind of had the same feeling, you know, the same expectations with the D-backs, or the same questions, I should say. Can this team bounce back in 2021? Because 2020 was an awful year from them, and 2019 showed a lot more promise than 2020 did. And so far, it looks like a continuation of the 2020 season for the D-backs. So, you know, lucky for you that your team is bouncing back, but I can't say the same as a D-backs fan over here. They're struggling, and I'm nervous for this series, honestly, because looking at that Reds offense, I was looking at MLB, you know, just the team statistics around the MLB. The Reds lead MLB in average with 316 average, OPS 1002, home runs 14, runs scored 57. I mean, this Reds offense is just ridiculous right now. So can this Reds offense, do you believe it's sustainable? Maybe they're not the best offense in baseball, but can they finish as a top 3 to 5 offense in the NL at least?
I think top five is doable, and I think that it all boils down to the fact that the guys who are producing right now are not the main guys that you'd be expecting. In fact, the way that they have constructed the lineup, the three and the four hitters have been Joey Votto and Eugenio Suarez, and those are the two worst bats in the lineup for the first six games of the season. It's blown me away that the bottom half of this order has done as well as it has. And just kind of a microcosm to describe the success that the bottom half of the order has had in the 14-1 game where they beat the Pirates by that crazy margin. The bottom half of the line, the 6, 7, and 8 hitters were 9 for 12, just all over the place. And it's led by the rookie second baseman, Jonathan India, who came out of nowhere in this spring training. And that's not hyperbole. I'm not like just trumping up this story for no reason. I thought for Jonathan India, this was a make or break year for his prospect status, let alone not to mention any sort of impact on the major leagues. And now he started his career with a 6-game hitting streak. He looks amazing on the defense. His glove is like a magnet. I love what I've seen out of him. And I've been so impressed with how that has all gone that I firmly believe that this offense can average at least a run better than they did last year. And I think that can put them in the argument for top five in the NL.
You'll hear more from me and Jeff, but first, I want to talk to you guys about Locker Room, because this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. This app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. You'll have a chance to chat with me, might even have the chance to be featured on the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast through our Locker Room conversations. Be sure to join me this weekend. I'll be hosting a room on Sunday, not sure if it's pre or post game, or maybe even both, so make sure you follow me on Twitter at CreatorThomas24, on my personal account, and on Locked On Diamondbacks on both Twitter and Instagram to make sure you get the announcement for when I'm going live. go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me, at Miller Thomas is my username, to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live this weekend on Sunday. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Diamondbacks. See you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in a traditional chain storefront. Wind door often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, and wait while the counter man orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there. How did you hear about his box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bisgowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's get back into it. Yeah, and looking at your lineup, you guys got a lot of ballers, or a lot of players that are balling out right now. I mean, three dudes with at least a 385 average, not to mention a couple other dudes who are around 350, 315. So the Reds lineup is going crazy right now. And Mike Moustakas, I'm just looking at his numbers because I feel like he's always a guy who's putting up pretty productive seasons, but never seems like anyone ever wants to pay him or keep him around for the long term. So I think that's a good pickup, honestly, by the Cincinnati Reds. I'm looking at his 2020 stats. They didn't pop off the page, but he's still only 32 years old, so he's not even that old, and he leads in the National League in walks right now. So his OBP is going crazy, 560 OBP, so good for Joey Votto. But looking at, you know, the rest of the roster, there was one weakness I did find with the Cincinnati Reds when looking at your splits and your ninth inning ERA. You guys giving up 7 earned runs in the ninth inning this season for a 10.5 ERA, I believe. So how worried are you about that closer position for the Cincinnati Reds?
Slightly, but only because I can't really explain what's been going on with Amir Garrett. He has 2 appearances this year, which may be part of it. Maybe it's rust and he just hasn't shaken it off yet. But in the 2 appearances, he faced the Pirates. And in both appearances, he gave up home runs. In his first, it was a solo home run. And in his second, he loaded the bases and gave up a good old grand salami, which at that point, the Reds were leading by 11. So it was all just garbage time stuff anyway. But on the other end of the spectrum, you're thinking, okay, is this just him being a little bit too comfortable with the lead and grooving a couple of pitches that he was just hoping would be quick ground balls and get out of here and go home? Or is there something bigger? So there's at least a question mark with him. Coming into the season, though, I firmly believe that they had 3 guys, especially if Sean Doolittle. I mean, currently his fastball average velocity is ticking back up toward where it was a couple of years ago, which is huge news for him. But with him, they've got 3 guys that can really be the ace of the bullpen. You got Garrett, you got Doolittle, and you got Lucas Sims, who his last outing, they were looking at the Statcast numbers on his slider, the spin rate was like top 3 in the league. And he had just crazy movement on it. Pirates couldn't do anything with him. He looked phenomenal. So they got a righty and a lefty, and then Sean Doolittle, another lefty, that could really be that anchor in the bullpen. Plus, they've got TJ Antone, who could be a starter, could be a reliever, and they've got Michael Lorenzen on the shelf. We don't know when they're getting him back. So as we move through the season, the bullpen can be very stacked. And I'm kind of with you, though. I am a little bit worried as to what's going to happen in a close game because they haven't played one of those yet.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if we're going to see a close game against I'm not sure if we're going to see a close game in this series, honestly. I mean, the D-backs just lost Ketel Marte in last night's game, and the first game without him, they get no hit through six innings. So that tells you all you need to know about the D-backs offense. It is lifeless without Ketel Marte, because he was arguably, you know, you could put him in the argument, you know, it was only a week into the season, but he was playing arguably the best baseball of anyone in Major League Baseball. And to see him go, the D-backs have really no one else in that lineup that is contributing right now. So I'm scared if the Reds put up a lot of runs in this series, what that's gonna mean for the D-backs, honestly, in this series.
That's a bummer to hear. I'll be honest, I was really looking forward to watching Ketel Marte, and yeah, that's what happened before the Pirates series. Key Brian Hayes went down. I was really looking forward to watching him. It's like, guys, you know, we only get to see you a couple of times. I want to watch Ketel Marte. Come on now.
Yeah, and he seemed to pull up with a hamstring injury when he was running out a grounder to first, but they put him on the 10-day injured list. They said it's not too serious. We still don't know the full extent of the injury. I think we're still waiting on a couple MRIs there, so we'll see with the Ketel Marte injury. But we were talking off the pod, and apparently we play each other again in a couple weeks, so hopefully Ketel Marte is back by that point. But before we get there, we got to talk about tomorrow's matchup, because the D-backs is going to be their home opener tomorrow, and technically, arguably, the best D-backs pitcher is going to be on the mound tomorrow. Might be surprising to say, but Taylor Widener, who made his first major league start against the Padres, you know, the other day, he's going to be on the mound tomorrow for this home opener. Caleb Smith was just taking out the lineup, not the lineup, but the rotation, and Taylor Widener is basically replacing him in that rotation. So we got Tyler Motley on the mound tomorrow for the Cincinnati Reds. So what can you tell me about him?
Molly has, I mean, his first start looked every bit the part of what Reds fans want to see. He had 9 strikeouts in 5 innings, gave up a couple of base runners, but for the most part limited that. And he's really what got this whole thing going with this 5-game win streak. He's a guy that no one's expecting him to step in and contend for the Cy Young, but everybody expects that he can pitch well enough to lead the Reds to be able to win 55% of his starts, which is exactly what Trevor Bauer did last year. And while he's not going to go make $40 million with the Dodgers next season, he's still got a ton of talent. Dude's got a great fastball slider combo. And then whenever he faces lefties, he has really worked in the split finger changeup type pitch over the last couple of years, and really induces a lot of ground ball. So he's got a nice mix of pitches that Derek Johnson has really helped him hone in on. And us Reds fans here, and we love DJ. DJ can coach a pitcher. I don't care. Like if they sign you or me, Millard, I'm telling you, I think by like 2 years, we'd be elite pitchers with Derek Johnson's coaching. This guy is a wizard. And Tyler Malley is just one of the many success stories with that. Although I was looking at Widener, and when you're talking about making a impact pitching against that Padres lineup and out pitching Chris Paddock, it's nothing to shake a stick at.
Jeff and I will wrap up our conversation about the D-backs and the Reds, but first, I want to talk to you guys about BetOnline, because BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Promo code LOCKED ON. Be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly 2 decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, all right, all right. Let's wrap up the pod with Locked On Reds host Jeff Carr.
Yeah, and I was you know, surprised to see what Taylor Widener did, because it was just a guy I didn't really think much of. I was like, all right, he's going to come in, be a, you know, a sixth man in this rotation, kind of just like a spot starter. So if he gave up four earned runs to the Padres, I wasn't going to make much of it. I didn't think he was going to be a guy to be in the wrong, be in the rotation for the long term, honestly, because I thought he was only going to be there because Zach Gallen is out of the rotation right now with injury. But after that horrendous start by Caleb Smith, who everyone is getting flashbacks of Robbie Ray pitching when they see Caleb Smith, Taylor Widener had to stay in the rotation. Honestly, he's so far, he's been the best pitcher in this rotation through the first week and a half of the season. He's the only one to pitch six innings of a ball game. Luke Weaver went 5 2/3 last night, but he gave up three solo home runs. So it was an up and down start. It's so hard to figure out how good that start was last night. So Taylor Widener, only three hits against the Padres, and he wasn't even doing anything crazy against the Padres. He just did what a lot of these D-backs pitchers can't do, which is attack the strike zone. And he has something that a lot of these other pitchers don't have as well, which is fastball velocity. Most of these D-backs pitchers, especially like a Madison Bumgarner, he's usually topping out at 89, 90 miles per hour. But Taylor Widener, he can pump it up to 95, even 96 miles per hour with the changeup around 86, a slider around 84. So he's got good variability. He doesn't have the most crazy stuff, but he's a solid pitcher. So I'm curious what he does against that Reds lineup tomorrow, because it's the D-backs home opener, first home game of the season. I think they're expecting 20,000 fans there. So there's going to be a lot of people in attendance, a pretty big capacity. Do you know what the capacity is at Cincinnati right now?
Right now it's 12 and change. We're doing 30% on the total capacity for the stadium. I think it's 12,280 right now. You'd think I remember. They talked about it on opening day when I was down there, but it was really cold, so remembering numbers was hard. But yeah, it's about 12,280. I was going to ask you, you were talking about with Ketel Marte out, the lineup looks a little weak. What about Tim LaCastro? What can Reds fans expect from him?
Yeah, Tim LaCastro, he's a speedster, honestly. He's a burner, and he's a good contact hitter. The thing with Tim LaCastro, he's not really a power guy. He pretty much has no power at all. When it comes to slugging, home runs, that's not something you can expect from Tim LaCastro. I believe he only has four home runs over like 150 games played in his major league career. So you're not going to get home runs from Tim LaCastro, but he did have one in the first game of the season. But he's not really an everyday outfielder. He's more of a platoon guy. He's playing more right now because Cole Calhoun's out the lineup, and now Ketel Marte's out the lineup too. So that's two outfielders out the lineup. So we're going to have Tim LaCastro out there a lot. You're going to see some Pavin Smith out there, who is a first rounder by the D-backs a few years ago as a first baseman out there playing corner outfield, just because we need someone out there. David Peralta's out there. So the D-backs lineup is pretty weak right now. And just looking at their overall lineup on Baseball Reference right now, Carson Kelly hasn't played a lot, only 13 at-bats, but he's got 462 average, which is pretty good. But after that, the best player in the lineup is probably Adrubal Cabrera, which is not saying much at 35 years old. Big offseason signing to like a one-year deal. He's probably playing the best baseball of any D-back with Ketel Marte out the lineup right now.
I always liked Adrubal Cabrera. Looking forward to watching. I did not realize he was in Arizona. I should keep up with that more. But that's pretty I like watching him play. I'm looking forward to this series just because I don't get to see Arizona a whole lot. So this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I do want to ask you one more thing before we wrap up, because one guy who was on my fantasy team last year that got me, you know, some good points was Raisel Iglesias. And looking at the bullpen right now, he's not there anymore. So I know he's in LA right now with the Angels. So I just want to know what happened between that relationship between you two guys.
There's a they said repurposing of money. I didn't see them spend it. So I think they just repurposed it to the pockets. No, they traded him for Noe Ramirez, a infield prospect named Leonardo Rivas, and just basically freeing up his spot in the payroll. And what was weird was they also sent money to the Angels for that deal. So it's like they paid the Angels to take him off their hands. And then in the middle of camp, they cut Noe Ramirez and the Angels signed Noe Ramirez back. So it was literally like they gave him up for nothing. And that was on top of the fact that they DFA'd Archie Bradley. non-tendered him. So it was a whole deal where it was like the back end of the bullpen completely opened up for Amir Garrett and Lucas Sims, who I'm very excited about. Don't get me wrong. But on the other end of the spectrum, just looking at what they did with the resources that were freed up by those moves, everybody has to squint and see, well, they signed a whole bunch of non-roster invitee kind of guys. And, well, you got, I don't know. So there was a little bit of something that people were talking about so far as fit goes. A couple of years ago, it was kind of an infamous exchange where David Bell was attempting to pitch his best reliever, which was Iglesias, in the highest leverage situations, whether that's the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, not necessarily just save situations. And Iglesias actually set the record for most losses by a reliever in that year. And he wasn't happy about it. In fact, in the middle of the season, he said that I am not being used correctly. And so that rubbed a lot of fans the wrong way. So they were like, all right, so when are we getting rid of this guy? Like, come on. And he still pitched good after that. I mean, the loss thing isn't that huge of a deal. I think we all know that wins and losses are super circumstantial when it comes to pitchers. But on the other end of the spectrum, the fact that they got nothing back for such a talented reliever is still mind-boggling.
Yeah, is that kind of the same reason why you guys let Archie Bradley go too? Because I'm looking at his numbers, his splits. He had a 1.17 ERA with you guys. Granted, he only pitched seven innings, but he seems like he was pretty dynamite in his short appearances with the Cincinnati Reds. So was it just because of the money situation as well with him?
Yeah, I literally think because he was due. I was looking, I think it was SpotTrack. It was somebody was saying that in arbitration, he was due to make about $5 million. And I remember when they traded for him, I'm like, dude, this guy is a legit reliever and he's under team control. Like, this is good stuff. And then they're like, nah, we don't want to pay him. And now he's a Philly. So that worked. But the only annoying thing was they traded I believe that was the deal. I'm trying to remember because there were two deadline deals last year for the Reds. They got him and they got Brian Goodwin from the Angels. And one of them sent, I think it might have been Goodwin now that I mention it. So I'm like way off topic now. But it was the best name in the Reds farm system. And that was this Irish dude named Packy Naughton. I was really looking forward to seeing him move through the farm system, but they traded him. And actually, Brian Goodwin isn't a member of the Reds either. So officially, yeah, they traded him for nothing too. So it's been a weird offseason. And the fact that they've started off so hot has been so big for Reds country, because most casual Reds fans were like, should I be excited about this team? And now they know the answer is yes.
Yeah. And looking at your rotation entering the season, I wasn't too impressed, honestly. I know you guys lost a couple of dudes to free agency, but I didn't think you guys outside of Luis Castillo had that great of a rotation. Right now, Wade Miley, you know, he's turned back the clock a little bit. So you guys are looking good right now in the rotation. And that Archie Bradley trade, the D-backs did get Josh Van Meter back, who I don't think he's a great player, but with all the injuries in the outfield, you might see a little Van Meter this weekend, honestly, because I definitely think he's going to be starting at least one of these games. But Jeff, thank you for hopping on the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast. First time doing a crossover. Do you want to shout out your socials before you go so people know where to find you?
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Carr with three Fs and follow the show at Locked On Reds. I'm also on Instagram. I try to post on Instagram, and my handle is just reverse my Twitter handle. It's Car Jeff, still with three F's, and Lockdown Reds is on Insta as well.
Yeah, Instagram is probably the toughest place to get consistent. Always got to have a graphic made whenever I post on there. It's just like Twitter, you just put a few characters down and you just tweet that out, honestly.
Between graphics, and then I'm like, well, I mean, I have a really good picture of this nice plate of food in front of me, but do people really want to see food on a baseball Twitter? Like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah,
but if it's S'mores Fry Box, maybe.
Yeah, the D-backs Instagram account when I was first starting it, was just a lot of videos of me with like my hair all wild during the pandemic. So I think I archived all those videos, just scrubbed them from the feed, honestly. No one needs to see that. But Jeff, thanks for hopping on today. And maybe we'll talk again pretty soon, maybe in a couple of weeks when we get this rematch. And who knows, we may have a little wager on that one, if depending on who wins this one, if the D-backs win, of course.
I'd be happy to do that, Millard. And I'm definitely that at least one or two of those games I'm going to be at the ballpark for. So looking forward to it.
All right. That'll be pretty cool. All right. That's Jeff Carr of Locked On Red. See you later, buddy.
See you, dude.
That's it for this edition of the Locked On Diamondbacks podcast. Come back tomorrow for the best Diamondbacks news, coverage, and insight. We'll talk about the D-backs game from today, I guess. We'll talk a little bit about the home opener tomorrow. We'll just be talking a whole bunch of D-backs baseball, of course. And as always, stay safe, stay healthy. Follow me on Twitter at CreatorThomas24 for my personal account at Locked On Diamondbacks, and both Twitter and Instagram for the podcast handle. Deuces!